it going? This is Braden of the Noble Sports Guy podcast. Today, I am privileged to have Lacey O'Neill of the Houston Heat on today. How are you doing, Lacey?
I am great. Really excited to be here and, you know, looking forward to talking some football.
Oh, I appreciate you. I'm sorry we had to reschedule, but I mean, you understand, you've got kids. They are the darnest things sometimes. They get sick. They pick up everything literally that happens. So I appreciate you being willing to reschedule.
No, I totally get it. My little ones, they, you know, especially, you know, going back to school and everything like that.
Interview. I'm excited to have you on here. And you were voted an all-pro, correct?
I was all-pro defensive tackle.
Awesome. So you were a queen of the trenches. A few of my friends have called it.
Yeah, it was my rookie year, so I was really honored to get that, and I was disappointed that I didn't get to play. I actually hurt my knee in our last game against Dallas, so I didn't actually get to participate in the All-Pro game, but, you know, just being selected as part of the All-Pro squad was really an honor, and, you know, I was just kind of overwhelmed with that, so it was real cool.
Did you at least get to go to all the events and whatnot?
I didn't. Unfortunately, the weekend of the Super Bowl and everything, we were doing a huge upgrade at work. I work in IT and healthcare, and so I had to be kind of present for that, and so I didn't get to participate in anything. It was pretty devastating, to be perfectly honest. And I told my boss, I was like, next time, like, y'all are just gonna have to figure it out without me, because I'm not missing that again.
Yeah, I could only imagine. Like, yeah, it's got to be rough. But I mean, you looking at some of your highlight videos and looking at the WNFC, you had some amazing plays. So I highly doubt you wouldn't get voted in next season again. So,
I mean, I appreciate that. I kind of think next season is going to be a little bit different. Like I said, I hurt my knee, and so I think they're going to be moving me around maybe to offense. I still am very passionate about defense and want to play defense as well, but you know, we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited either way. Wherever my coaches decide is a good fit for me, I'm, you know, going to give it my best.
Yeah. I mean, I played both sides of the ball, but, like, I agree, defense is always better. I always had more fun playing defense than I did offense, so.
Yeah, they really wanted me to play offense, you know, last year, and so I kind of, like, I did not want to play offense. And they finally, you know, like, it finally just kind of came down to the wire. We had so many injuries, especially on the line. We, you know, they needed somebody. And of course, like, if my coach asked me to do something, I'm never going to tell them no. If I have the ability to do something, I'm going to step up and do it. And so I ended up for the last couple of games playing both sides of the ball, which was, it was tough, but it was actually a lot of fun. And once I kind of hit my stride on offense, I actually really enjoyed it too. So, you know, I'm looking forward to 2022 and seeing what that season brings.
Yeah, I'm excited for season 2022. I'm going to be going to the Vegas games, being that I'm in Vegas. But
right.
Maybe if you guys play each other, it'd be fun. So,
yeah, that would be awesome.
So the first question, so all the questions that I ask in these interviews come from people that listen to my podcast, and a majority of the questions actually come from my family, because I'm sure, as you know, family is the biggest support system. They're the biggest cheerleaders, biggest supporters, whatever you want to call them, they're the biggest whatever. So
yeah,
this question comes from my mom, and I love it. It's a question of, where did it start? Why did you start playing football? Like, who was the driving force behind it, and what was the reason behind it?
So I, you know, I grew up in West Texas, in a very rural area. So, you know, we weren't watching TV and playing video games. We were outside, and I was always kind of a tomboy, so I was always out playing backyard boy ball with the boys and everything. And it was just always fun, you know, like I enjoyed it. When I was in junior high, I had a couple of my female friends that actually played in junior high. My dad was 100% against it. He's very old fashioned and old school, and he was afraid I would get hurt. And so he wouldn't let me play. But in high school, I actually, like, I wanted to be involved. I played, you know, basketball, and I'd run, not run track. I was like a thrower, shot put and discus, and did some different things in track and stuff. But I really wanted to be involved in the football program. So I sat down with our head coach at the time when I was in high school, and there was not an athletic training, a student athletic training program. Like, cause like I said, we were a very small school. So I actually helped get that going. I was our first student trainer. And so I was at every game. And I mean, I just love the sport. I love watching it. I loved being a part of it. You know, I felt like I was as much a part of the team as anybody. I actually lettered in football. So, you know, that was really cool for me. And then, you know, I've always been a fan. You know, my dad was a big UT fan, so college football has always been kind of a passion. I've always followed it closely. And I didn't even really know women's football was a thing. To be perfectly honest, I wish that I had known about it in my 20s because I would definitely have been involved. But I just really didn't know it was a thing. It wasn't something that was, you know, talked about, or, you know, there wasn't really any news or anything that I saw when I lived in West Texas. And so until I moved out here to Houston, I just had no idea. When I moved out here to Houston, I moved out here for my job. I work in IT, like I said, in healthcare. And so I was trying to find something to like stay in shape. And I like I said, I like sports. I like team sports. And, you know, I wanted something that was going to, you know, be fun. Just going to the gym to me is just not a good time. Like if there's no purpose, it's kind of boring to me. So I saw a flyer. It was like on a local Facebook page for women's tackle football. And I had no idea what it was. I just thought it was like some local, you know, league or whatever. So I reached out and, you know, I talked to the owner. And so like right away, I knew it was something different because there was an owner of the team, which was, it was kind of, my mind was blown. And so he wanted me to talk to their head coach. Their head coach was Daryl Hobbs. He's our current head coach, and he played in the NFL for the Raiders for a number of years. And so, I mean, I was already kind of starstruck with that. And he invited me to come to practice and check it out. And I told him, I was real upfront with him. I said, you know, coach, at the time I was 36. I said, I'm not sure I'm your demographic. I'm not in the best shape. You know, I'm a single mom. I don't know if I'm what you're looking for. And he said, the great thing about football is that we can find a place for you. If you're passionate about it and you have, you know, the desire to learn, like we can find a place for you. He said, just come check it out and see what you think. And then, you know, we can go from there. And so that's what I did. And I just, from the time I walked onto the field, like I loved it. It was awesome. And that's kind of how I got involved with the Houston Heat and how I got to this point.
That's really cool. Yeah, to be honest with you too, I had no idea that there was really a women's football league either until my daughter found Lois Cook's TikTok. So I had no idea it existed at all.
Right.
Like out of all the people that she finds on TikTok, she finds Lois Cook, and then that's kind of what got the ball rolling with me interviewing women athletes. I think women athletes in general don't get enough credit, and you guys have such unique stories, and I like hearing those stories, whether it's as simple as a kid you played it or you found it in your older years. So I think it's awesome. Football is a way to bring people about. I like it, so that's awesome. Yeah,
it's really cool, you know, and you meet so many people, and it's opened so many doors for me, and just you know, circles that I never necessarily would have been a part of. So, you know, it's been a really incredible journey for me, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I could only imagine. Like, I think it's so cool just watching you guys play. I watch a lot of the Facebook Lives and whatnot. It's a lot of fun. And the one game we went to, my daughter had a ball. She thought it was the coolest thing ever. She wanted to run onto the field and try to play with them.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And that's, you know, that's a big motivator for me, because when I was a little girl, you know, like, you girls didn't play football. It wasn't allowed. It was, you know, this is boys only, and it was the boys club. And so it was kind of crappy. And I just, now I see, like, I've registered to be, you know, a mentor as part of our I Got Her Back program. And a couple of weekends ago, I went out and supported a young lady who's, you know, been playing with their local peewee team. And one of our, you know, one of the girls that we play with is their coach. And so, you know, me and a few of the team went out and were able to support her. And just, she was so excited just to, you know, meet us and see us. And that, you know, they didn't tell her that we were coming. And so when we showed up, she was just totally surprised. And, you know, not only was she excited about it, but the boys were excited too. You know, they thought that, you know, they're kind of meeting celebrities. That's how they treated us, which was a whole weird experience for me because, you know, I'm just me. But it was really neat. And those kinds of experiences are very rewarding for me and very motivating because, you know, that's the reason that I'm doing this. I want, you know, girls and young women to know that, you know, if this is something that you want to do, there's a place for you. And, you know, it's inspiring to me to see those kids coming, you know, up and having opportunities that we really didn't have.
Yeah. And I appreciate what you guys are doing. You're making the path a little bit easier for my daughter and for other little girls that are watching. Like, my daughter now will run around the house, scream touchdown. She'll put her arms up like a touchdown. And that's, my wife's like, that's, why did you awesome. Teach her that? I'm like, why not?
That's awesome. I absolutely love it. Like, that just, it's awesome for me to see. I had, you know, I help with our social media accounts, and we had a junior high coach reach out to us and send us some footage of a young lady making, she's the first girl in their school's history to score a touchdown. And so they got that on film, and just you could hear her mom's excitement in the film, and the coaches on the sideline were jumping up and down and hugging each other. And it was just so, that is so cool to see. Like, we're literally watching history be made here. Like, these girls and the women that I work with, like, we're breaking barriers, and, you know, we're opening pathways that have never been opened before. We're breaking those glass ceilings, and it's kind of special to be a part of that right now. And as far as, like, women's sports, you know, women's sports is kind of having a moment right now. Like, I feel like, you know, like we had talked about a little bit, women's sports has long been overlooked. And, you know, I think people are finally starting to see that there really is a value in women's sports. And, you know, we do belong here just as much as men belong. And so, you know, it's just, like I said, it's really a special thing to be a part of. And right now, especially, like, I just feel like it's awesome that, you know, people are finally starting to pay attention.
It is kind of cool. And to see even like the NFL teams starting to take notice too. And it's like, good, maybe these NFL teams will start helping foot bills, help foot the cost, and to essentially hopefully get you guys paid. Cause that's still something that's frustrating, is the pay difference. And obviously it'll come through time, but sometimes I wish it'd be a little bit faster.
Yeah. And I mean, those things are, money is, you know, a big part of it. You know, it's hard when, you know, not only, like, yes, I'm passionate about this sport, but we also currently, we have to pay to play because, you know, somebody has to cover the cost of our facilities and our transportation and all of those things. And we don't have a sponsorship right now to do all of that. The great thing about the WNFC is Odessa, you know, our leader, OJ, she really has a vision for this league, and she has a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, and everything that she's set out to do so far, she's done. And I just have so much faith and respect, you know, for her, because she is really, you know, doing what she set out to do. She's, you know, I mean, I don't see any other leagues with Adidas sponsorships or Bose or Rydell. And I mean, we have, you know, big name backers. We were featured in an NFL commercial last year. Like, it's really awesome. And so, you know, I think that our leadership team just deserves so much credit for the things that they're doing to bring attention to women's sports, and especially women's football in the WNFC.
Yeah, the winds are changing, and it's kind of cool to see. So, I'm happy to be kind of a part of it, to help it grow in any way I can, because obviously my daughter, I would love for her to take after me and want to play sports. I mean, she, if you look at my daughter, she's like the literal carbon copy if I were a girl. So, and my wife's like, well, maybe she'll like dance, or maybe she'll like theater, because that's what she likes. I'm like, I think she's going to like sports. She already does. She already sits down and watches games with me. And she's going to, they say she's going to be around 6'2". So she's going to be a big girl.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I see a scholarship in her future.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm like, if she's tall, because I'm 6'2", and it's funny, I'm 6'2", and my wife's 5'1". So,
oh God,
like, we see whose genes are really the dominant one right now, and she's our only kid. And I'm like, our luck, the next one's gonna be a boy, and he's gonna be really short. So, and that's if that's so the case, funny. It is what it is.
Yeah, I used to like my ex-husband. I was saying is, like, my daughter, she almost has like no interest in sports. She likes volleyball, and so she and I kind of had to learn that together, because I had like, I didn't know anything about volleyball. And then my son, he's a little carbon copy of me. He absolutely loves sports, wants to do everything, and you know, I'm hoping that he's gonna, you know, continue to be interested in sports and those types of things. But, you know, whatever they decide to do, kids are kids, they're their own people. I'm going to support them either way. So, you know, it's fun getting to see them develop and you know, grow to love their own things and own interests and hobbies and stuff like that.
Yeah. And even if my daughter wants to go into theater or dance, whatever, I'm going to be the biggest cheerleader possible. So it doesn't awesome. Really matter what she wants to do. She's got me as a dad, and I'm going to go all out. That's the only way I know. So
that's how it should be. You know, like, you have to be your kids' biggest supporters. And, you know, it's a strange time right now for kids to be growing up with the pandemic and, you know, not it for a while, you know, not even being able to go to school and socialize, and then, you know, not being able to do sports and stuff like that. It was a weird time for them. So, you know, I'm excited to kind of have some normalcy back, and, you know, them getting to do sports and, you know, be involved and everything like that. It's we're happy things are kind of coming back to a little bit of a normalcy since pandemic.
Yeah. And luckily my daughter's name's Penelope. I'll just call her Penny. That's what we call her. She's little enough that she won't really remember the pandemic, hopefully, knock on wood, but she's 2. So, but I mean, I think the one thing she did enjoy was mom got to stay home with her for 2 months. And I mean, that'll probably be the only time that'll ever happen where mom's home all the time with her. So it was kind of nice.
Yeah, it was funny because, like, the pandemic hit, like, right before, you know, our 2020 season was supposed to start. Like, it was like a week or maybe 2 weeks before our first game is when they canceled our season. And so that was pretty devastating. So then, like, of course, like, my kids were home with me. I'm reeling from the fact that season is canceled. So, like, our PE or whatever, like, playtime in the afternoons was us running through football drills in the backyard. So I'm sure, like, they both remember that. And are like, you know, mom, like, even now, like when I go to practice, they know all the drills. Like we would do our warm up drills and everything, and they know how to do them. They'll get out there and do them with us because we did it for 2 months, you know, in our backyard. So it kind of helps keep mom sane a little bit to get them out of the house and burn off a little energy.
That's true. Yeah. So the next question I have is kind of along those lines. How do you juggle everything? You said you work full-time in an ID health field. You're also playing football. You're also a mom. How do you juggle it all?
I mean, it's not easy. I don't have family out here, so it was hard to kind of have a support system in place. Part of the really great thing about, you know, being in women's sports is, like, we're all – well, not all of us, but a lot of us are moms. And so we all kind of understand that. Our coaches are very cognizant of that and understanding, like, you know, sometimes I can't make practice because I have a sick child, or, you know, I have other responsibilities that I have to take care of. And, you know, they understand that even though I may not be at practice, like, I'm still putting in work at home and I'm still committed to doing whatever I need to do, or studying plays or watching film or whatever it is on my own time, to make sure that, you know, I'm going to be rock solid for the team. A lot of it, you know, the past year I've really worked on kind of building my tribe out here. And so I have some really, really solid friends that, you know, if I needed them to help out with the kiddos or whatever, you know, I know that I could call them. But you have to be good at managing your time, and you have to also be able to say no. Sometimes, like, you just have to tell people, like, I can't commit to do this, or I can't, you know, say that, you know, I can't take on this project right now because I have too much, you know, going on and everything like that. And, you know, I'm very aware that as my kids get older, you know, my time is going to be even more limited because they're going to become more involved in sports. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to juggle all of that, but, you know, we'll figure it out. It'll just maybe take a little bit more time management and, you know, just maybe a little less sleep. I don't know. We'll see what happens when we get there.
Yeah. Sleep I've learned is I can survive on like 4 hours of sleep and be fine. It's not ideal, but it's one of the things I've learned to deal without.
Oh, I am not that way. If I don't have like at least 7 hours, I can't hardly function. So it's really hard for me to, like, I'm not really a morning person. It takes me like an hour to like really wake up, even with coffee. It's just like, oh my gosh. So I have to like, and I have a hard time going to sleep too. So like, even though I'm like dead tired, I have to like force myself to like go lay down and like do something to relax to go to sleep. Cause I know if I don't and I stay up and I'm like, you know, working on stuff for work or, you know, doing whatever for all the other stuff that I'm involved in, like, I'm going to be not a very very good productive person the next day. So I have to be very aware of my time.
Yeah. I my days start at 3:15 in the morning. So I'm,
oh no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but I do enjoy it because I get the afternoon and evening with my daughter. And the only downfall is my wife works until 6 and doesn't get home till like 7. So, and I've learned, I'm like, I can either spend time with my wife and Penny, or I can go to sleep. And I've kind of decided I'd rather spend time with them and then kind of just make up the sleep on my days off. So,
That's just how it is. Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. And that's just how you have to do sometimes. You know, during season, it was a little bit tougher. You know, we were traveling, and with your games that are, you know, every Saturday, and plus you're practicing 3 to 4 times a week, my kids kind of had to sacrifice some of their sleep and stuff because, you know, usually they're in bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we don't even get out of practice till 9 o'clock. So we weren't getting home till 9:30, 10 o'clock a lot of the time during the week. So, you know, they were really troopers, and they never complained about going with me to practice. And I, you know, my team, they all know my kids, and they they all, you know, are kind of like second parents to them. They'll tell them, you know, calm down, or whatever you're doing, you need to sit down, or whatever. You know, we all are just kind of one big family. So it's pretty cool. And I'm glad that we're all a part of that.
That's awesome. So the next question I have for you is kind of been the big one that I'd like to ask. It comes from my uncle-in-law. He also hosts a podcast. If you haven't gotten the chance, it's called the Sports Parcast, and I'll send you a link to it. But basically, it's kind of cool. He spotlights professional athletes and has them talk about what they would have done differently if they were in high school again, and how special high school athletes have, and like they have this light about them. It's kind of cool. And he had a Olympic gold medalist on his podcast, and it was a lady. And the question he asked her is something that I've really stuck with me. He's like, if you could stand in front of a whole entire audience and explain, the question was asked, why should people support women's sports? What would your answer be?
Oh man, that is an awesome question.
It's kind of a loaded question.
it is a loaded question, but you know what? Like, women, we contribute so much. Like, we bring things to the table that men just don't bring to the table. We bring a lot of insight. There's a lot of things that women do that are, we're just different than men. It's not, you can't carbon copy men's sports and do the same type of model and expect it to work for women. You know, our coaches, I think they've learned, like, you can't coach women the same way that you coach men. I believe personally, we're a lot grittier than men, and we've got a lot more heart than men. I think that men have kind of been spoiled, to be perfectly honest, and that may kind of strike a nerve with some men, but you guys, you know, you learned fundamentals as far as football is concerned. You guys learn that stuff basically from the time you can walk. You guys are in peewee football. You're in junior high football. You're in high school football. Y'all have college. And then you have, you know, developmental leagues and all these opportunities to learn. And women do not have that. So when you see a woman, especially somebody that's my age or in their 20s or whatever, who's coming out and playing a sport that they, you know, didn't grow up playing or didn't have the opportunities to play, like, she's made a lot of sacrifices to get there. And when you watch us on the field, like, the women we're hardcore. Like, you will see these women take hits and then just bounce right up and, like, go on about the next play. And a lot of times you don't see that with men. I feel like I've gotten to where I don't even like to watch NFL because they don't let men hit. Like, you can't hit the quarterback anymore. Like, that's the dumbest crap ever. Like, why do we watch football? We love those big hits. And, you know, they're kind of taking some of that out of football. And it's, you know, I know that we want to be safe and we don't want anybody to get hurt. I never go out on the field with the intention of hurting somebody. But at the same time, it's football. Like, you're going to have big hits. You're going to have people who get laid out. You're going to have people who get injured. Like, it's part of it. We're sacrificing so much to be out on that field. Like, it's really for the love of the game. We bring so much passion, and I just don't see that in men's sports anymore. Like, it's almost like robotic when you watch men's sports. They're just kind of going through the motions, and I just feel like women are a lot more passionate. That's just my opinion.
I kind of agree with that. I feel like on the men's side, it's turning more into a business instead of a game. And
yeah,
at the end of the day, it still is a game. And
yep.
I've kind of had to take a little bit step back because I'm obsessed with sports, and I'm a Seahawks fan, and my wife gave me so much crap. When Russell Wilson got hurt, I legit went into a depression. Like,
oh, no.
I went into a funk, and my wife's like, you've never met this man in your life and you're in a funk. Like, are you serious? Like, you need to take a step back. And I realized, I'm like, yeah, this is getting to be a little too much. Like, and Russ is my guy. I'm happy he's our quarterback, but I'm like, all right, I kind of need to tone it down a little bit. I'll find other ways to get into sports. And so it was a rough couple weeks, but I've since moved on. But it like you said, it's almost like they're robots, and it's not as fun. And tell you, I coached powder puff football in high school, and the women that played, the girls I went to high school with that played on my team, holy Toledo, the things they did and said and acted, I'm like, there's so much more heart, there's so much more aggression that when I played football that didn't exist, like, and it was fun to watch. So
yeah, I mean, and I was around in high school. I mean, I was right there on in everything. I was at two-a-days. I was at, you know, every game. I was on the sidelines. I was there. And so, you know, high school football is, I mean, it's a religion in Texas. Like, it's a whole thing. So that was, like, you know, what I grew up doing. And that kind of passion, you don't see that as much in college and pro anymore. Like, people just kind of follow whoever's winning. Like, there's no like, oh, this is my team and this is my team, do or die. Like, I'm a Longhorns fan, do or die. And it's hard to be a Longhorns fan right now because they are not winning. And so it's, you know, it's tough, but a lot of people jump ship. And you know, male fans especially, like, if your team's not winning, like, they're out. And then in NFL, because, like, players don't stay with the same team, like, to me, it's almost hard to stay and be a fan because, like, I really get – I'm kind of like you. Like, I get kind of attached to players. When the – you know, when the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins, I was so upset about that. Like, I was so mad. And then J.J. Watt left, and it was like, really? And then, like, earlier this year, they, traded – Mark Ingram, and then they just traded my favorite player, Charles Minshew, and I'm like, I'm breaking up with the Texans because, like, this is toxic, this is awful. But you know, I just don't feel like there's a lot of passion, and like you said, it's like it's all business. And yeah, I know, like, at the end of the day, these are athletes, they're pro athletes, they want to make money, they want to go, you know, where the most money is, and I get that part of it. But I think that they've lost, like, kind of the love of the game. And, you know, I think that that's a real shame because I think sports teaches us a lot about life. I know personally, just playing, I learned a lot about myself. I learned, you know, I've always believed that I'm not a quitter and I'm not somebody that is going to be somebody who gives up easily. But, like, this season, like, I really – that was driven home for me. Like, there is no quit in me. I will fight tooth and nail till, you know, the very last second. Doesn't matter what the score is, I'm going to fight. So, you know, I just don't see that same kind of passion from men anymore. Not at the pro level, especially. And I think that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. What, I'm a BYU fan and we got a new head coach and he's kind of changed our program. And there's a lot of that excitement. You can see the players' excitement, but it's not the same in the pros, and it's kind of sad. Like, and honestly, I think the reason BYU is the way they are now in football is because their coach is of Polynesian descent, and Polynesians are known to be laid back and chill and relaxed and kind of almost that swagger. So it's been fun to watch BYU play this season at least, and we're joining the Big 12 soon, so we'll be playing Texas until they leave for Alabama country in a couple years.
Yeah, so. The whole SEC, like, the whole, I don't even know, like, I feel like they just kind of need to, like, scrap the whole conference system and start over. Like, it's such a mess these days, but, you know, what do I know, whatever. I'll let them figure that out.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, like we've said, it's a business, and I mean, hopefully one day it changes, and maybe it's gonna take the WNFC showing that, hey, there's still passion, there's still excitement in the game, it's not a business anymore. So
yeah, and I mean, I feel like it can be both, you know, like, it can be a business, like, you know, you can still, like, you know, feature brands and stuff like that and have sponsors and everything like that and bring the money in. Like there's a market share for women. Like if you look at who's buying, you know, like jerseys and who's buying, you know, sports related stuff, a lot of it is women. And if we can, you know, kind of tap into that market and say, hey, you know, I know that you love your NFL team, but check out these women. Like these are women who are badass and, you know, they want, you know, like come support us because like we're the ones who are going to be gritty and down there, down and dirty, you know, in the trenches doing what we do. And I think that if people had the opportunity to see us and we get, you know, more, as we get more exposure, like, I really do think that like, we're going to develop a big fan base just because, you know, it is more for the love of the game. You know, I'm hoping that the XFL comes back and everything like that, because I felt like we saw some of that when the XFL was, you know, playing. I feel like those guys were really playing for the love of the game, and I hope to see, you know, more fans come to us and, you know, be able to see that passion.
Well, you've got a fan in me. I'm going to seriously need to start investing in shirts for each of the teams that I, and players that I've interviewed for. I have a Silver Star shirt and I wear that every time I get a chance, but I need to start getting more shirts. So
for sure. And there, I think they just put some stuff on clearance in the WNFC fan shop. So this is a good time to, you know, get your holiday wish list.
Oh, I know. And that's the one thing I've told my parents is like, yes, I know you can get me Seahawks stuff and I'll be happy, but I do like other teams. You can get other things other than Seahawks. Like I'm not going to be angry. So, well, thank you again for taking the time out of your day to come share your story with everyone that listens to my podcast. And like I said, you've got a fan in me. I am obnoxious at work when I talk about women's sports. Like I've had coworkers tell me like, dude, I don't care. Like, shut up, to the point. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to shut up because I've learned that the best way to get people interested is almost being in their face without being in their face.
You know what, so. Braden, I really appreciate that though. Like that's what we, you know, as players, like we love to see that. Like we're passionate about it. And when we have, you know, fans who are passionate about it and people like yourself who are doing podcasts and willing to bring us on and let us, you know, speak and give us, you know, kind of a platform, like that just means so much to us. You know, I have friends who, you know, bought shirts and, you know, they wear my jersey and it's like, it's surreal to me because like, you know, I know like, you know, none of them are super rich or anything like that, but yet they're willing to go into their pocket and spend money and buy a jersey. Like that's the, like, it's so humbling to me. And I just really, really appreciate, you know, people like yourself who are giving us a voice and, you know, bringing a spotlight to women's sports and the WNFC specifically. Like, I just keep doing what you're doing because I'm telling you, we really appreciate it.
And like I said, I appreciate what you're doing because I'm a girl dad like that. And there's a long story of why I think I'm only going to have daughters and we don't have to get into that, but. And I'm not opposed to it. My best friend's family has 5 boys, and me and my brother were always over there. So there's 7 of us. His mom was like, "You guys are only gonna have girls. I'm stuck with these 7 guys. There's only gonna be girls." And so far, we're 2 for 2 with girls.
Oh man, that's awesome though. Like that's awesome.
And you know, some of the coolest guys that I know, like Kobe Bryant, they're all girl dads. Like and they excelled at being girl dads. So I appreciate that you're giving a chance for my daughter to get a chance to play football if she wants to or whatever she wants to do. You guys are making the path a little bit easier. So it's that much easier to be a voice and to get in people's faces to try to get them to come out. So anything I can do to help, please let me know.
For sure. And next time I'm out in Vegas, we'll have to link up and grab dinner and I'll meet your little one and, you know, tell her to shoot for the stars because, you know, there's no stopping us now. Like we're going to break all these barriers and it's, you know, it's going to continue to grow. And I'm excited for her and my daughter and, you know, all these girls who are up and coming, because, you know, we're really gonna, we're taking this thing into the future. Like, we're on the train and there's no stopping us.
Yeah. And I know this this hurt a lot of guys' feelings on the WNFC post, but I don't care. The future is woman. Like, that.
That's right.
Like, I don't find that offensive at all as a man, and anyone who does, shame on them. So, but thank you again for taking the time. I appreciate you sharing your story. And if you guys need anything in Houston, let me know. I am a marketing major, so I'm happy to help. I'm willing to do it for free. That, obviously, like, I just want to help you guys grow as much as you guys can. So,
well, I absolutely appreciate that. I'll pass that along to our owners. And, you know, again, I appreciate you having us on and giving us a platform. It really means a lot to us.
Well, thank you again. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye.